We are Vineyard.
Somos Viña.
We are Vineyard.
The spirituality of the church I grew up in mm-hmm. had a bit of perfectionism in it.
Yeah.
And so being perfect was holy. And being a servant all the time was holy. And so being the model Christian was the gold standard and celebrated. And so I think I've tried with our kids, and so I'll answer the question that way.
Yeah.
Is through my wife in particular has brought this very down to earth,
yeah.
real.
Yeah.
We're broken. God loves us as we are.
Yeah.
We don't have to pretend.
Yeah.
I mean, you've met my wife.
I have.
There's zero pretense.
She's
down to earth Aussie who calls out the pretense all the time. Even to me.
Totally.
It's like, get real.
Totally.
What do you really think?
Totally.
You know? And I think she has been the one where I go, man, I wish I had that voice growing up. Where God loves us in our messiness and he's not looking for perfectionism.
Because that would have been seen as sort of worldly or less spiritual.
Yeah, and the charismatic upbringing I grew up in had come out of the holiness movement.
Right.
As opposed to the evangelical movement. So there was a, you cannot sin today.
Yeah.
If you, you know, and because we're charismatic, then we should know more than ever. We have the power of God to overcome.
Welcome to the We Are Vineyard podcast, conversations to help us grow with Jesus and each other. This season, we have a number of incredible guests lined up for you. And we're excited to let you know that this season's episodes will also be available as videos. So subscribe on YouTube and never miss an episode. On today's episode, Jay talks with Gare Jones, lead pastor of Vintage Church in LA. Let's listen in.
Well, Gare, thanks for hanging out with me to talk.
My pleasure, Jay.
I would love to talk to you a little bit about your church, but really about you. So tell me a little bit about where you were born and where you grew up, just so we can orient folks.
It's a complex upbringing. So born in the north of England to a church planting pastor. And so that was a very dynamic, very charismatic upbringing.
Mm.
Power of God was very evident. And so that is kind of my upbringing.
Mm.
Being in the church and seeing God move in powerful ways.
Yeah, cool.
We had a bit of a trip. My father helped a church in St. Louis for 5 years. So we were in St. Louis.
In St. Louis?
I know.
You can go anywhere in the U.S.
Well,
did the Lord require him to go to St. Louis?
Well,
if you're in St. Louis right now.
Do you want to know the story?
Lovely place. Yeah,
I do.
Because I've been to St. Louis.
And so my father was almost like a, he called himself an apostle, like an apostolic leader over lots of these churches.
Yep.
And one of the churches, he had said, like, covenant's a big deal between pastors. We got each other's back. We're here for each other. Not covering up stuff, but, you know, we're loyal to each other.
Yep.
And the pastor in St. Louis called my father and just said, hey, look, I'm going to run away with the secretary tomorrow.
Ah.
And you're the only one who could keep this big church together.
Oh.
You know, this is where loyalty and covenant comes in.
So we cashed the check.
Like, we literally just packed our bags, went to St. Louis for the summer, and that summer was 6 years. And so we stayed for 6 years as he stabilized in the church.
How old were you? You were what age?
I was 5 when we moved.
5 to 11 in St. Louis.
5 to 11. So, mate, it was the best time of my life. I had BMX, so I could just, I call it the ET years. Remember?
Right, totally.
The ET and the boys on their bikes just go around subdivisions.
Yeah, that was my life. Yeah.
That was my life. And I played ice hockey. I was on peewee hockey over there. It was amazing.
It was your American experience.
We used to, you know, just hang out at Spencer's down the mall. Yeah. Remember that store?
Oh, dude.
That was my upbringing. We weren't allowed in there to begin with, but we snuck in.
Yeah. That's okay. Okay.
So then we moved back to the north of England.
And back in.
And then grew up there. And my father was a big believer in me not going into ministry.
Right.
Going into marketplace ministry. Mm-hmm. A real strong kingdom view of, we need apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers in the marketplace.
Yeah.
And so I trained to be a lawyer. And by the time I went up to London to be a lawyer, I'd had some challenges in my own faith, in my own story in church. I was starting to dismantle some apparatus of my upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, distrust church.
Mm-hmm.
I'd made loads of mistakes as well. You know, I'm not.
But what
I'm
kind
not
of
a victim.
Kid were you? You were like,
I was an obedient kid.
Oh, so you were like good kid.
I was super obedient.
Oh.
And part of my story is I was trying to be the perfect pastor's kid. So trying to obey, do everything, please my elders. Mm-hmm. You know, at times I felt that was my life, right. You know, to really be that young leader speaking at conferences as a teenager.
Yep.
I kind of felt value in trying to fulfill that role. So, you know, that was my identity. And I lost myself big time. Mm-hmm. I lost my who am I? And part of my, I would say, emotional and spiritual breakdown after law school, going up to London, was a culmination of me not even knowing myself.
Right.
Obeying and pleasing others as my identity.
Yeah.
And I went up to London and just kind of had my eyes open to, I don't know who I am. Mm-hmm. And I've made decisions and I've done things. I even became a lawyer for other people's kind of pleasure rather than my own.
Yeah.
And so I went on a journey away from the church for many years in London, thinking I need to discover myself. And the church felt a place of claustrophobia for me. It felt a place where I had to perform and fulfill some kind of spiritual pedigree. And I couldn't go there. I had a panic attack once when I went back for a church wedding. I walked in the door and had a panic attack because I felt, oh no, I'm gonna allow myself to be controlled again.
Yes.
And I'm not blaming anyone. There's just the susceptibility in my own heart.
Yeah, totally.
And so.
So what if you could, this might be too deep, too fast, but I'm just curious.
Go for it.
If you could go back and say something to a version of you who's like, let's say like 14 or 15, because that's around when you start to get agency.
Yeah.
Prior to that, it's like, I don't know, I'm just going wherever the car goes and I get out.
Yeah.
What would you want to say? Because I think, you know, I'm raising PKs, you're raising PKs.
Yeah.
These stories strike fear in my soul.
Me too. I have a son.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
What do you think would have helped you? Is there a thing that could have helped you, or is it just something you had to go through, or how would you?
I think, and I don't know actually how much of this was done.
Right.
And I just didn't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because the atmosphere was more formative than the words.
Mm-hmm.
The atmosphere of, in our, the spirituality of the church I grew up in had a bit of perfectionism in it.
Yeah.
And so being perfect was holy. And being a servant all the time was holy. And so being the model Christian was the gold standard and celebrated. And so I think I've tried with our kids, and so I'll answer the question that way, is through my wife in particular has brought this very down-to-earth, real, we're broken, God loves us as we are, we don't have to pretend.
Yeah,
I mean, you've met my wife.
I have.
There's zero pretense. Oh, she's down-to-earth Aussie who calls out the pretense all the time, even to me.
Totally.
It's like, get real. Totally. What do you really think?
Totally.
You know? And I think she has been the one where I go, man, I wish I had that voice growing up, where God loves us in our messiness and he's not looking for perfectionism.
Because that would have been seen as sort of worldly or less spiritual.
Yeah. And the charismatic upbringing I grew up in had come out of the holiness movement.
Right.
As opposed to the evangelical movement. So there was a, you cannot sin today.
Yeah.
If you know, and because we're charismatic, then we should know more than ever. We have the power of God to overcome.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember literally, Jay, when I was 17, feeling, am I allowed to have a bad day?
Wow.
Like in my emotions? Or is that a failure?
Right. What does that mean? Right.
So I literally walked around the town we were living in, a place called Leicester in the middle of England.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah.
And do you know what? I was intentionally wanting to just like look glum because no one could see me. And I thought, I'm just going to look like I'm having a bad day because I am. And you know what? This car pulled up.
Oh, no.
Ran down the window, and I heard this voice going, Gare, you look as if Jesus didn't raise from the dead. Cheer up.
What
you know,
are the odds?
I know. And it just felt, I can't even be real alone.
Yeah.
That I failed even, you know, when I'm trying to isolate. And part of my unwinding of that and healing of that through my 20s, was just recognizing God loves the whole of me.
Yeah.
He's not surprised by any of me. And he actually, that shadow side, as Brendan Manning used to say, you know, he loves the shadow and the ego. And we often say that to other people, but we struggle to say that about ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's been my journey of looking at John 15 and going, I grew up thinking God loved the fruit. God loved the branch when the fruit comes. But Jesus didn't say that. He just said to ugly, warped, brown branches, remain in me.
Yeah.
As I have loved the Father, so I love you as a branch before even the fruit comes. Yeah. And actually, I'd lived fruit forward, not vine forward. Mm. And the fruit I was producing was ugly because of it. Mm-hmm. And my journey over a long period of time, and I'm still another layer every day, going, what does it mean for me just to live in a way that it's truly, I'm loved where I'm at.
Yeah.
God wants to heal me of all sorts of things, but I don't have to be something and be a success in ministry and be a success as a father.
Yeah.
And that was deep in my soul.
Yeah.
Growing up. And so I've had to unwind from that and I'm still doing that.
No, that's formative.
And I brought that into ministry,
you know? Of course you did.
And, you know, when I left business, I was in business for a while, and in the early 30s, I moved into ministry. I had just a lie which was deceptive in my head, which was, oh no, now I have to be a success at this.
Right.
And I know what that gold standard is because it was my dad, or in your world, it would be John Wimber.
Yep.
And it's, unless I hit that, I'm a failure.
Yep.
And so that drove me so much to often burn out, workaholism, not taking care of myself. You know, I put on 50, 60 pounds because it was just, that was my only soothing from working so hard. Mm. This is way too much too soon, isn't it?
No, Joe? No, it's great. This is what we're here for. Well, because honestly, Garrett, I mean, what we're going to pivot into.
Yeah.
Is you lead a really dynamic church. People fly from all over the world to just see stuff you do and get 10 minutes to talk about how their life should be better and why do I suck as a pastor. I mean, we're all at a conference right now.
Yeah.
We're a bunch of people. I mean, who knows? I'm projecting. But my hunch is people show up in a room like this because they're like, I don't know. There seem to be some people that know what the heck they're doing.
Right. Little do they know.
Well, or what they don't know, which might be what's showing up in some of the sessions, is the thing you're talking about now is the thing that does the other things. Mm. But sometimes this thing might not do the other things, which is fine. Because if you get the other things without this.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the bit in John 15 that I find myself obsessed with is that you will bear fruit that will last. Mm. It seems as though Jesus, and this is an argument from silence, so Bible scholars won't like this part, but it seems as though he's saying there's a kind of fruit that might not last.
That's the inference.
I think it is. Mm. So there's a way to do this thing we do that kind of works.
Right.
But it doesn't remain.
Right.
I want to do a thing in you that you'll bear fruit that will last. Because it won't be dependent on your talent, your ability, some kind of cool moment, but on the Spirit, which is enduring.
Right.
But that requires this kind of thing. Like the thing you're talking about is the kind of thing that, well, it doesn't play as well on a stage. It's not as cool of a story. Mm-hmm. But what I've appreciated about you, or even what we're experiencing over these days, is it seems like every little cool thing someone's talking about almost is entirely connected to some inner work that God required, right?
Like 100%.
You know, we're not going to do that until we do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so let's pivot in that. So you go to business.
Yeah.
Law stuff.
Law then business.
Yeah. Law then business, then ministry.
Yeah.
In HDB world, right?
Well, that was my home. I came back to faith at HDB.
Yes.
Never on staff there.
Right.
They just became my tribe.
Right.
You know, and then when I went to seminary, I thought that was where I'd go back.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that was on my way back.
Yeah.
But as I went to Regent College, Vancouver, Canada, and then a lovely ex-tutor there, an English vicar called Michael Green.
Yeah.
Of I Believe in the Holy Spirit kind of book days.
The man.
Called me and said, would I help him in a church in Raleigh, North Carolina?
Incredible.
And so I didn't go back to HDB.
Right.
Still my home. And I go back there. I'm not, you know, we're part of that family.
Yes, you are.
But I never, I actually worked there.
That's interesting. For some reason I thought you would bounce back in there, but you didn't. Yeah, that's.
Well, what's interesting is they had a very, you know, they had a family of churches, but right. You had to have worked there
to
be part of the family.
Right, right, right.
And so I technically hadn't worked there.
Right.
And so they said, "Oh, okay, we love you," because they are so kind, but right. Technically you can't be part of the family. You're like a friend. And so I thought, you know what? I'll be that friend who just shows up at everything.
As though I'm family. yeah, totally. Hey, that's me. I get that.
I just,
yeah.
Whenever there was an event, yeah. It's like, okay, it's here.
I guess he's allowed here. Yeah, right.
Well, actually, at times I wasn't. there was an infamous day that the clergy were all like praying, worshiping, and I was outside looking through the window, just praying outside. You know, but it's like,
dude, that's
this powerful. Is the only family I've got.
Dude, I'm going to make an AI picture of that for you.
So I was pressing my face up against the glass, going,
I'll frame it.
No, I didn't care. I didn't care because I had been rescued by them.
Yeah, exactly.
Nikki and Sandy
yeah.
had shown me a different expression of the kingdom of grace.
Yeah.
The vineyard in Anglican clothes, as I say, yeah. That I would go, this is my home.
Yeah.
Whether I'm on the subs bench, whether I'm in the stands,
sure.
This is my team.
Yeah.
And that. They've been so kind to me and they have welcomed us into the family.
Yeah.
I think eventually it's like, all right, let him in. But
if he just keeps, it's getting awkward. There's face prints on the glass.
Right. I was making it awkward.
I love it.
What if the communities you're building could only be as healthy as you are? Better Together is back, and this year we're going deeper. Join Vineyard USA Associations July 21st through 23rd at North Jersey Vineyard for a transformational gathering where beloved community meets emotionally healthy leadership. Featuring Drew Hyun from Emotionally Healthy Discipleship, you'll discover how to lead from wholeness instead of woundedness and build communities where people don't just attend, they truly belong. This isn't just another conference. It's a reset for your soul and a vision for the community God's called you to lead. Early bird pricing is available through May 4th. So don't wait. Learn more and register today at bettertogether.vineyardusa.org. We'll see you there.